out to God who's head of my life, to our deacons, mothers, trustees, everyone in their respective places. Turn to John 20th chapter. Say amen. Reading from the King James Version. Verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sin ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were with them, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Amen. For the reading, hearers, and doers of God's word. How many of you are ready to hear a word from heaven? Amen. Word God gave me today is peace be unto you. I was reading and I never really found out why Thomas was not with the disciples. I researched, but I couldn't find a reason why he was really there, wasn't there with them. But his absence was noted that he wasn't there. One thing that we should note that his absence caused him to miss out on what Jesus was ready for them to do. So I want to encourage you and let you know that you are important to the ministry of God. When you don't support the ministry, the progression suffers. Something happens when you are not in attendance. Jesus had just been crucified, and the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb where Jesus' body was laid to rest. First thing she took note of was the huge stone that had been placed to seal the tomb had been rolled away. Mary looked in, and Jesus was, his crucified body was not in the tomb. I don't know, it amazes me that one thing about a woman, she's going to go and find out. Amen. She's going to dig, and she's going to go and get some information. Somebody's going to tell her something. And look in verse 2 and kind of read, then she runneth and come to Simon Peter and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved, and said unto them that they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where he have laid him. Peter therefore went, and the other disciples came to the sepulchre, and they ran both together, and they talked about one other disciple outran Peter. And they didn't say who it was, but that was a pretty fast guy there, or unless Peter was just really slow, and he just couldn't run. Then went also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre and saw and believed. Now, he saw and believed. Jesus did say, destroy this temple, I will raise it. But that one disciple saw and believed. I don't know why, but after Peter and John left and returned home, Mary remained there. Again, that woman, she's going to find out. Somebody going to talk to her. Somebody going to tell her something. You just can't just, see, I remember my brother preached a message, and it was very powerful, where he said, you know, the guys are pretty much like headlines. We get the headlines of the newspaper, and we got the story. We're good. But the woman wants all that verbiage that's underneath the headlines, and she wants to read that and know what you're talking about. Amen. So I'm not saying anything bad, ladies. I'm just saying you all gonna get the information. My grandfather taught me years ago. He said, if you don't know something, he said, ask a woman. She'll tell you. And he said, if she don't know, give her a few minutes. Amen. He said, give her a few minutes. And get back with her. She'll get the information for you. Amen. So Mary looked in again, and she saw something that the disciples had not seen. Okay, y'all got me? See, it's typical. Men ain't gonna find stuff, but a woman would. But she saw something that the disciples did not see, and it was the two angels. And Mary's only concern was she was just really searching for Jesus' body, you know, and she really wasn't looking for anything else. But nevertheless, all of a sudden, she hear her name spoken in a familiar voice of Jesus. She burst out and said, Rabboni. You know, one thing, you know, my grandfather, his vision is dim. He doesn't see as well. But one thing about it, he hears a familiar voice. And he knows exactly where you are. And he knows who you are. Man, so you can't fool him with that because he recognized the voice. So Mary recognized the voice of Jesus when he spoke her name, but not when he first questioned her. Mary did not expect Jesus to be alive. This lets me know that even the familiar can seem strange to us when we encounter something unexpectedly. The disciples of Jesus were, with the exception of Thomas, had gathered and assembled together and that evening that the tomb was found to be empty. But Mary had reported that she had seen the risen Christ. Right. They gathered that evening to come together. So instead of celebrating the news of Christ's resurrection, we are told that they are gathered behind closed door in fear of the Jews. It is important to understand their fear and place it in a proper perspective. If you look and read in Matthew, you'll see that the guards that were assigned to the tomb of Jesus experienced the earthquake and saw the stone seal the grave moved by an angel, and in awe and fear fell to the ground. And the Bible says that they were dead. They too had witnessed what the woman saw that morning. After the woman left, some of the guards went into the city and told the chief priests everything that had happened. But instead of receiving the news, think about this, the news with joy, they bribed the guards to report that they had fallen asleep and that the disciples have stolen the body of Jesus. So the guards, you can read that in Matthew, the guards took the bribe and did as the scribes had said. Their report quickly spread throughout Jerusalem. And so the disciples are now, you can understand, they're in this room behind locked doors because they were being sought for stealing the body of Jesus. So here they are, the disciples are held up in this room in the midst of a special call meeting. And with the doors locked, Jesus suddenly showed up in this locked room. Jesus came, stood among them. The first thing Jesus says to these startled men is, "Peace be unto you." The Bible promised that the Lord would be near to those who are struggling in life or dealing with pain associated with the circumstances of life. The Bible says that the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. The Lord was in the midst of his people, providing for their particular needs. We are never alone on this journey. All right. And we need not fear facing life apart from his divine guidance and provision. The disciples were dealing with the most difficult situation they had ever faced. Jesus died upon the cross. He had promised to rise again from the dead. From the dead, the disciples dealt with doubt and this uncertainty. At this moment, it appears that all their hopes and all their dreams were buried in that grave, in that tomb. All right. But the disciples, they were struggling with their current situation and their faith. Now, Thomas was not present for this assembly at this moment. But Jesus showed up and Thomas wasn't there. See, when you miss service, you miss a blessing. All right. Jesus is just not conformed to Sunday morning worship. When the people of God come together, the Lord is with them in the midst. I don't know why Thomas missed it. Maybe he had a way of dealing with the situation different from everybody else. Or maybe he had an obligation. I don't know. But maybe he needs to grieve alone. But it's not understood why Thomas was not there. But one thing we should know is that his absence caused him to miss what Jesus was ready for them to do. Have you ever missed service? You don't have to answer that. I'm just throwing that out there. And everyone you talk to said, oh, you should have heard the preacher. Oh, didn't he preach? And then, no matter how you present it to them or share it with them, it's never the same as being there. Amen? I mean, you can say it, you can give the text, you can say what the preacher said, but it doesn't feel the same when you're not there. You can never duplicate what you just missed. That ain't gonna work. They tell you how the Spirit of God moved during the service. You know, how things were and how this and this. I mean, the musicians were really playing, made the piano sing. Folks won't believe that until they show up. And they're like, well, how you gonna make a piano sing? Folks won't believe that. The disciples, in their excitement, when they saw Jesus, ran, found Thomas, the other disciples, and was telling Thomas about what he missed. And Thomas, being who he is, he said, unless I put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hands into the side, I ain't believing nothing you say. Because Thomas missed the meeting, his faith was not as strong as the other disciples. Amen? At that moment, his faith was not as strong as theirs because he did not see. His joy had diminished. He didn't have the joy that the disciples had or experienced the joy that they experienced because he was there. He walked around still with a bowed down head. All right. He walked by sight and not by faith. His spirituality began to weaken a little because his mind was still on the crucifixion of Jesus. He could not believe in the risen Savior, even though his buddies have said, we've seen him. All right. Talk to him. Yeah, come on, yeah. But he still was in a city called doubt. All right. Because he had not witnessed what his buddies witnessed. All right. When those who had seen the evidence told Thomas that Jesus was alive, there is not a hint of acceptance of the miracle. All right. Thomas gave a human response. Unless I see. How many of you are like that? That's a human response. Unless I see for myself. Even though a person is telling you the truth, but you still want to see it for yourself. He gave a human response. I'm not criticizing him. I'm just saying he was being human. Right. He was being us. All right. Amen? He said, unless I see the scars of the nails in the hands and put my finger on those scars and my hands in the side, I won't believe. How many of you would have made that same comment? Oh, I hear what you're saying, but let me see it for myself. We all have doubts at one time or another, about one matter or another. And the way most of us deal with doubt is to suppress it. We ignore it and refuse to admit it to ourselves and refuse to admit our doubts to others. We hide any evidence of our doubts, and we wear a mask of faith, and we pretend to believe without question. So what kind of Christian would we be, or could we be, if we admit that our lack of faith had resulted into doubt? But in the midst of their fear, the disciples came together. There are those who make a considered effort to assemble themselves among the household of faith because they understand that we are strength one to another. All right. Amen? All right. These people are considered the core of the church and can be counted on for their attendance. Mm-hmm. Amen? Their time and even their tithes. All right. Amen? I have also noticed that in each church that there are those who do not make any effort to attend more than one service a week. All right. These people will find other things to do to keep them out of church. They appear to be less committed. And even if you don't make it to service, understand that you still have to pay your tithes. Amen? Amen? Still got to pay your tithes. Right. If you go on vacation and you ain't at home and you on vacation, you still got to pay your utilities. Right. Amen? Right. You can't say, well, I wasn't there, so I didn't use it for that week. Can I get a discount? That ain't going to happen. So even if you miss church, you say, I wasn't there this Sunday. But you still are obligated to send your tithes. Now, I don't hit on tithes a lot, but I'm just telling you how the Word of God works. Don't tell me you're there in spirit. When you're in there in spirit, send your tithes. So the question comes to mind, does attending church really make a difference? I'm on the opinion that it makes a real difference to everyone. It makes a difference to the individual involved, to the church that could use more of your talents and your service. Amen? I think every Christian is obligated to attend every regular service unless something unforeseen has taken place. God even commands us to attend church. Many people go to church once a week and claim they are committed to the church. In my opinion, a person cannot be committed to the church unless they are willing to be at the church, and that means more than once per week. Many people are lukewarm in their feelings toward the church, and therefore they are lukewarm in their association with Jesus. All right. If we are serious about our walk, we should also be serious about our walk with Christ. Let us not give up meeting together. Find that in Hebrews chapter 25. But we need to understand, it is a reason why God is saying we need to be together. The disciples came together. Thomas was out there by himself. Wasn't with the core group. That strength hold things together. But sometimes people fall away from the church. And did you know that most people who have fallen away from the church have done so not because they were let down or hurt while going to church, but they gradually started missing service until they finally saw it to be difficult to attend. God knows every time you attend service, and He knows every time you miss service. See, we want God to do something in our lives. You want him to keep you safe for eternity. So how would you feel if he told you he was just too busy to pay attention to your needs? That wouldn't go well, because we blame God for everything. Amen? We don't like it when we don't get our ways. Amen? But what kind of message are many of us sending to God each week? We don't want to be in service. We just want God's blessing. I hear it oftentimes, people want the hand of God, but they don't want to do God's work. Thomas was somewhere else, maybe pouting about the resurrection. But whatever his reasons were for missing that assembly that day, he missed much because he was not there. He missed the presence of God, the power of God, the peace of God, the praise of God. He even missed out on the promotion of God and the provision of God. He missed out on a whole lot. So regardless of his excuse for not being there, he missed some things that could never be duplicated again. But Thomas learned the hard way that there are some things you just have to see for yourself. Thomas is a good picture of why being faithful to the church is so important. You never know what you will miss when you fail to come to church. People have all kinds of reasons and excuses for the services they miss. We live in a day and time that people are busy. Their lives are hectic. Their children are busy with sports and other activities. And sometimes God fails to be first. Sometimes second. Sometimes third. All right. Amen? Sometimes even fourth. Or he may not even be in the top 10 of some people's lives. All right. His worship has to come first. We all have our excuses, but none of them are worth the effort it takes to say them. An excuse is nothing more than a reason stuffed with a lie anyway. Amen? I remember one time I was up here preaching. And I'm going to be honest with you all, I was sick as I don't know what. And the one thing that I was concerned about was throwing up while I was up here. But I preached anyhow. And when I got done, I went and I sat in the car because I was just drained, both physically and just mentally drained. And the one thing about it, a lot of the brothers didn't really know it because I preached hard. I gave everything that I had. And when Brother Pittman Sr. found out, he said, "You was what?" I said, "Yeah, brother." I said, "I was sick." He said, I couldn't tell. I give it everything I got. Because there was a message that needed to be delivered. And one of the things that God reminded me, I remember when I was playing ball and I slightly twisted my ankle. And if you know me growing up, I didn't want to be taken out of a game. So I act like I wasn't hurting just to stay in the game. But I was hurting really bad. And was hurting to try to walk and do anything. But I was trying not to favor it. In other words, what I'm saying is that if I didn't want anybody to take me out of the game, I didn't want it to be taken out of this pulpit. I wanted to stay in that game. I wanted to preach God's word. That's how dedicated I was. We need each other, the church and what it offers. Let me remind you of why the disciples are behind locked doors. These are all young men. They were all young men that had given up their careers to follow a man called Jesus. While they had been with him, they had seen and done some extraordinary things, healing and even bringing people back from the dead. They had become convinced that Jesus was the Messiah, the person God had promised who would make the Jews right with their God. Some of the teaching that they had received had been difficult for them to understand, so they hadn't really taken it in as well. Then just a couple of weeks ago, they had been preparing to go to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. There was always huge crowds gathering around at the festival. Jesus had chosen to ride into the city on a donkey. There was cheering and praising God. The crowds were in great spirit. The next day, Jesus had gone into the temple and thrown out all the traitors who were ripping off the people. It was the first time the disciples had seen him really angry at that point. But they shared in the Passover meal together, and what Jesus had done there had seemed very odd. After the meal, Jesus was in a strange mood. Strange mood. Sometimes you're just not yourself. Amen? And kept insisting that they stay awake. The soldiers had arrived with the chief priests and Judas. And then Jesus was arrested. The disciples had followed Jesus from a distance, but kept quiet about who they were because they thought that they would be next. Amen? They thought that they would be next. Then Jesus had been crucified like some common thief, and the disciples all fled. They carefully, now all of a sudden, now they're behind these locked doors. No doubt they were already under suspicion of stealing his body. They were expected to be arrested and face the same punishment as their former leader. Then all of a sudden, they're gathered together in the room. Then you hear this voice, "Peace be with you." Not just a voice. This was the voice of Jesus. Peace was the one thing they didn't have. All right. Not at the moment. All right. You can't have peace when you think that someone is about to arrest you and you're about to be crucified. You ain't getting ready to have peace. If you're human, you ain't in your right. You ain't thinking that right now. You can't tell me. Jesus, I'm going to tell you, as much as people say Christians shouldn't act like this or Christians should be, let me tell you something. If you're human, I'm not going to be surprised. But I understand at this moment they didn't have peace. Look at what is going on around us. I've heard it said before, you got the shooting in Walmart. You got this man in Daytona doing this. You got all kind of stuff that's going on around us in this world. So right now we are living in the middle of a very troubled times. The balance of power, even in the Middle East, you got the Islam nation is growing tremendously. Not only are they growing tremendously, now they have infiltrated into the politics. And now if the laws, you think the laws are being changed, it's really going to be changed to fit their agenda. So here we are dealing with all of this type of stuff. And all of these presidential candidates, they ain't doing nothing but lying to you. They're only telling you about the other person, but they ain't telling you what's in their background. So we got all this stuff going on in this world. We got all the stuff that we're dealing with and that we're seeing in this world, and that we are constantly in a state of a problem. Struggles. But Jesus showed up to the disciples knowing what they were dealing with, knowing what they could possibly face, knowing that they were in fear of the Jews. And Jesus shows up, don't care if the door is locked, shows up in the midst of them and says, peace be unto you. Stress-related illness was growing rapidly. New drugs are being invented to deal with this stress. You got stress from your boyfriend? We got a drug for that. You got stress about your girlfriend? We got a drug for that. Oh, you married? We got stress for marriage. We got all kind of pills on the market to deal with your stress. But that's not what the disciples needed. They didn't need a pill. They needed Jesus to come in the room and say, peace be unto you. We see family crisis going on in the world. Members against members and countries against countries. Confusion and frustration, tension, violence, all this kind of stuff is going on. But only God can give you peace on the inside when the storm is going on the outside. It is a calmness on the inside, crisis on the outside. But Jesus came in, gave them peace to surpass our understanding. All right. Amen? The disciples needed God's peace. They had locked themselves away because they were frightened that the Jews may any moment bust down the door and arrest them. Jesus knew his disciples were struggling with this. So this is why he said, peace be unto you. Y'all ever thought about something when you're having a bad day, people love to encourage you with these little sayings like, hang in there. Amen, hang in there. It'll be all right. You know, as you leave, people will say, have a good one. Amen. They say these things, these expressions are spoken with good intentions. But what good do they do? All right. I can tell you somebody who's having a hard time at his job, I can say everything is going to be all right. But how do I really know that everything is going to be all right? I can say to someone, have a good day, but I can't make it happen. Amen. I can't make a good day happen. So what good does it do for me to say that? Not much. It's just a cliche that we often use when we don't know what else to say. But when Jesus says, peace be with you, it means much more than what you think it means. Just as he has the power to give you peace that he wishes for you. So when Jesus says to you, peace be with you, he can take it, you can take it to heart. Because what he was basically saying to us, in the midst of our fear and in the midst of the struggle, he was saying to the disciples, peace be unto you. I want to tell you something, that I'm no longer in the grave. Peace be unto you now. My daddy is not going to crucify you now. He's going, I have been accepted as the sacrifice for you. He spoke these words to the disciples, letting them know that everything is going to be all right. He was letting them know, you don't have to fear the Jews anymore. I'm giving you peace that will surpass all understanding. I'm letting you know, look at me, Thomas. Put your hand, put your finger where they put the nails. Thrust your hand in my side. I'm letting you know that everything It's all right. He was letting the disciples know that this is a new day. Everything is all right. Only Jesus could pull this off. If somebody popped up in the middle of my living room saying to me, "Peace be unto you," I would be startled. I would be scared to death, may pass out. But let me tell you, this is why he said, "Peace be unto you," because he knew they were scared. He didn't want to startle them, so he said, "Peace be unto you." There's many reasons to be afraid, but at one point does it stop? We live in a sinful world. Amen? The main thing to remember is Jesus is alive and well. He says, "Peace be unto you." In other words, he's saying, "Relax." Disciples, relax. He said, "I'm here. I haven't gone anywhere." He was letting them know that, hey, the victory is ours. He was letting them know, hey, I'm all right. Look at me. I'm here with you. He is saying to them, I'm here protecting you. He knew where they were. He knew what they were dealing with. Understand what I'm saying here. He knew that they were in fear of the Jews. So no matter what you're going through, God will show up. He doesn't need a door to come in. The door was shut in fear of the Jews, but Jesus stood in the midst of them. So that lets me know he came in the room without opening up a door. "Peace be unto you" is not a cliche. This is not a nice saying that never comes true. It's not a politician that's telling you peace be unto you. This is the Almighty God who rose from the dead saying, "Peace be with you." He's telling them to relax. "I got this. It's under control." As Jesus showed the disciples his hands and his side, he was sending them the greatest message of peace that he could have sent them. Jesus was offering them more than a security blanket. He was telling them, "Look at my hands. I was just punished for your sins. Look at my feet. I was just pierced for you." He was telling them, "But death couldn't hold me down. I've risen. God has accepted my sacrifice. You are forgiven. You are saved now. Your sins are forgiven. Even if the Jews come in and break down this door and kill you, they can't get your soul. Your soul is mine. You are going to heaven." That was the peace that Jesus was offering them. It wasn't just the peace of knowing that Jesus was alive. It was the peace of knowing that their sins were forgiven. It was the peace of knowing that God had accepted his sacrifice. We need to know with all this stuff that we see that's going on today, that we have the peace that surpassed all understanding. We have God's peace within us. When we come together, God is in the midst of his people telling us, "Peace be unto you." Why peace? Because only God can give you peace. No politician, no one can give you the peace that God can give you. Peace be with you. When you miss church, you miss what God is giving you. God promoted the disciples. He said, "As the Father has sent me, so send I you." All right. I'm sending you. I'm promoting you to do as the Father has said to me. He's telling them, "I'm giving you this power to go out and preach the gospel. Tell everybody about me, that I've risen from the grave. Grave could not hold me any longer. Jesus came up out of the grave when he said he would come up. And the disciples, being in the room among themselves in fear of the Jews, Jesus breathed on them. Gave them the Holy Ghost. All right. And when you get the Holy Ghost, you don't sit down. Right. Holy Ghost ain't for you to sit down. Yeah. Makes no sense to get some power, right, and you ain't gonna use it. Right. Amen? I remember when the dealer tried to sell me this car that was fast. And he said, this car has a lot of power. And I said to him, well, what am I gonna do with that? Get a ticket? No, I don't need that. What I'm saying is, it don't make no sense to have power and you ain't gonna use it. Jesus didn't give them power to sit down. He gave them power to go out, to go ye therefore, preaching the gospel, telling everybody that I've risen from the grave. I'm no longer bound to the grave. I told you that I would get up if you destroy this temple in 3 days. That's all I'm going to give you. 3 days. And I'm getting up out of the grave. Why? Because the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I'm getting up. Jesus breathed on them. See, that's what Thomas missed when he wasn't in the midst. He missed the breath. He missed the Holy Spirit. See, you miss out on something when you don't attend worship service like you should. Thomas was still dealing in the city of doubt, but the disciples were receiving a blessing. Why? Because they were in the name of the Lord. They received their blessing. The Lord breathed on them. When he breathed on them, he gave them power. Power to walk right. Power to live right. Power to do the things that the Lord has assigned them to do. They were bold now. They were no longer afraid of the Jews. The doors were now open. They were walking out. Why? Because they had power. They wasn't afraid anymore. Now, I'm not saying they went looking for a fight, but if the fight came to them, the Lord was with them. And that's what you need to know. As Christians, we don't go looking for a fight, but if you're going to bring the fight, the Holy Spirit is with us. Peace be unto you. Who can say that? And now, and not only say it, but bag it up. The Lord not only said it, but he bagged it up, letting his disciples know that I am with you, even to the end of the world. He's letting them know that I would always be with you, never leave you, and never forsake you. Peace be with you. With all the stuff that we are dealing with in this world, we need peace. We don't know who the next president is going to be. But you know what? It really doesn't matter, because we know who still sits on the throne. That's who we report to. That is our commander in chief. That is God Almighty. That's who we report to. That's who controls us. So I say to you, Rhema, peace be unto you. Know that God is with us right now in the midst of our worship, in the midst of our praise. We have him with us because he said he is, and I believe it. And when God says something, that settles it for me. I don't need no more explanation. I don't need nobody to clarify it. I don't need nobody to co-sign it. All I need is to hear the word of God. Regardless of what we are dealing with today, regardless of how we feel, regardless of what the x-rays are pointing to, regardless of what the doctors are saying, regardless of what's being done in this world, God is God. He is the Alpha and the Omega. Those words, peace be unto you, still has just as much power as it did when Jesus first spoke it. Because we have his peace, knowing that he is with us through all of our struggles, through our aches and our pains, through our suffering. The Lord is with us. So I say, Rhema, peace be unto you. We need peace. Amen? We need God's peace. If we're going to make it, we need his peace. We need the Lord to be with us. That's the only way we're going to make it. Amen? Folks don't want to say a nice thing to you. Don't want to motivate you. Don't want to say something good about you. And I'm going to tell you something. When they don't do that, you got to be like David. And just say, you know what? That's okay. You don't have to say anything to me. Because when I go to the Word of God, he's already spoken what I need to hear. He's already given me my motivation. I remember telling my boss, I had to watch myself sometimes. I said, you can't motivate me. You can't do what God can do for me. I don't need you to motivate me. I got God who is motivating me. I move and have my being because of God. That's where my strength comes from. That's where my help comes from. That's where my deliverance comes from. That's where my peace is coming from. That's where my shout is coming from. It ain't coming from the job. It's coming from God. thank you, thank you. Let us prepare ourselves for